So I'll start back with what. I gotta turn that down a little bit.
Turn that down.
It's a fantastic song.
I know.
Did you recognize it? We were debating just singing together
instead of speaking.
If you knew the song, I would have sang with you. I don't know anyone who knows this song. So creative mindset is it's kind of a take on a growth mindset. You've heard of that growth mm-hmm. mindset of always keeping an open mind, always learning things, always growing, moving forward. So in creativity, I think it's kind of the same thing that I do. And it was a takeover of a show called The Art Hour, and mm-hmm. it was about artists in the community. And this is community radio, so it was about the community of artists. And I thought, being a full-time artist, that what would be the best service for my community? And mm-hmm. it was about just like learning new things, find out where kind of cool, inspiring stuff comes from, inspiring people mm-hmm. and creative people using it in different ways. That's and great. I think you embody a lot of that.
Thank you.
So
it's an honor to be here.
Thanks. And so let's see, let's just go back to first time we met. Did I meet you through Maria?
Maria. Well, no, you met me because we were going to maybe rent from you.
And oh, is that right?
We connected the dots. It was before I started the first studio, the yoga studio, and we were looking around to rent. And instead, I bought the house that now you live near.
Oh.
Yeah.
Were going to rent a room from me?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
As we were landing here.
And yeah, that was
a long time ago. I think it was like 16 years ago.
Yeah, probably even more.
Yeah.
So, but yeah,
before
that was
the
tough. That was the tough life. In that, actually, it was my only social life was to, like, talk to tenants, prospective tenants. That's how I met everybody because all I did was work, and so that actually worked out pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I you started Yarrow. Mm-hmm. Was it the first hot yoga?
Hot yoga studio was a low key one in my basement.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, uh-huh. It was like a bootleg. I'm totally down with the guerrilla style.
It was definitely. And then we burst at the seams. It was the time. It was a time where Spokane didn't have a hot studio. Mm-hmm. And so we expanded into what's now Yogashala. I sold Yarrow, it's been 10 years now. And
it was 10 years ago.
Turned into an awesome community of yoga, teacher training. It had a little sustainable boutique. Uh-huh. And then I sold it and kind of took off around the world.
Yeah.
And shifted my work from yoga, which was a huge part of my life. I loved it.
Well, here comes the interesting part. I want to hear the details. So when I started to get to know you better, it was when you hired me to do a sign for your mm-hmm. Yoga mm-hmm. Studio.
Where is that sign now?
It's still up there.
No,
John,
it's not.
Yeah, John and Ara said.
Eric changed. Oh, they put it over. They put the shala over it?
Yeah, so they start asking me about a sign, and I go, are you asking me because I made that sign? Yeah. And they're like, you made that sign? And I go, yeah. And they go, well, what do we do? And I go, that thing's so bulletproof. I go, you just want to use that as like a foundation to put another sign up on top of.
That's awesome.
I remember when I made that, when I was done with it, I'm like, oh my God, this thing's heavy.
It's a good sign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just built right onto it. Just put some screws through it and just use it as a cabinet. But I remember when you... I've always enjoyed like trading, mm-hmm. Doing trades. And then you told me that you did energy work mm-hmm. and I didn't really know what that was. And I was like, count me in for one mm-hmm. session and I'll mm-hmm. drop some money off.
Right.
And I remember I went in and you were like, I'm not a massage therapist. Cause I was like, you got to do a little work here. And I didn't know what that was at all. Uh-huh. It took me a while just to be mature enough to fully understand what was happening, what was going on. Because I think the first one I didn't quite know what was going on. And then the second one is when I called you and asked you, I'm like, oh, I think I know
right
what this is supposed to do now.
It takes a minute because we're not trained in our culture usually to sense into the more subtle realms. but everything's made out of energy. And so we can, I was fortunate to train in Peruvian shamanism of the Caro or Caro mysticism, pre-Incan. And actually I studied shamanism the first time in undergraduate school. I lucked out.
In the school?
In the school.
Who teaches shamanism?
I know, right? At the Fairhaven College at Western Washington University. It's a little sub-school within Western. And it was made for me, essentially. It was, you go and you make your own major. And I was a little tyke who thought I wanted to study education as a form of healing arts. And so I sat down with my advisors, one of which was Leslie Conton, who was one of the creators of the Foundation for Shamanic Studies, a group of anthropologists that went and studied with as
the codification of...
Yeah, kind of codification of, yeah. of it. It's a, they distilled the commonality between different indigenous energy medicines around the world. And the commonalities of them would be like journeying to the underworld to bring back parts of your soul that might have fractured off in trauma. Or they all use the drum and power animals. So I learned that as a little tight, because I basically was, I said, okay, I'm 18. I want to study education as a healing art. I'll study pedagogy, but also I'm only 18. Like I need to study what I'm interested in. And so that was dance, yoga, meditation. I did regenerative gardening for a while. That was fun. And deep dive into shamanism. And then after that, I kept on going to school so I studied more yoga, more body work, craniosacral therapy, did a 3 years master program in a really specific style of energy medicine. And after that is when I moved back here and started teaching and started the first studio after that.
Well, this is nice to hear all of your background education. I didn't know how or anyone even starts if there's anything that's formal education in it or organization, at least back, what was that like?
In the 90s.
So that must have been, have been way back then.
Mid-90s.
Wow.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed hearing the stories of like energetics and things like that, but it took me a long time to get to a point where I actually felt them.
Although you are in that realm with your art. It's so with energy, we sense energy through, like if you heard of the word clairvoyance, what do you associate that with?
Clairvoyance is a seeing, right?
Yeah, it's clear seeing.
Uh-huh.
So my training involved training all my senses to clear out the programming that I inherited and built through 0 to 7, the subconscious programming. And so I learned to almost suspend it or recognize it in my senses when I was more clear as a vessel. I'm primarily clairsentient, a clear feeler. So when I work with clients, oftentimes it's remote. And as soon as they start talking, and this remote, like way before COVID. So it's just auditory. I'll listen and I'll hear, and then I'll start feeling areas in my own body.
And that associate with that, their
with
problem.
Their problems. Yeah. So I was meditating with a client the other day and I could see, well, that's the thing. So after I started developing my clairsentience, then my claircognizance, my clear knowing came on. And my clairvoyance, my clear seeing came on. Because we can train these things. It's what I help folks train. But it's tricky because we have to really know our own bias. We have to really know our own conditioning in order to trust it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've trained with, you know, it's been now, 25 years of doing that. As it's like my norm. So the other day I was meditating and somebody was wanting to let go of stress. And I could see them and they were in Malta. And I could see where the stress was in their neck and in their shoulders. And sure enough, I checked in and they're like, yes, you know, that's there. So then I could instruct them in ways to clear it from a distance, because energy's not bound by time or space. So once one is trained and starts to practice and establishes, like for me, that my mentorship, who I was studying with and how long I studied was really important, because mm-hmm. it's easy to get very influenced by our bias and our conditioning, because, you know, we're in it. And so, but that training worked. And so as soon as I feel fearful or insecure, I can't trust it anymore. And so there's these guidelines with it of how to know that we can trust our intuition. And intuition's another word that encompasses all of the clairs.
I'm just going to keep going in. So how do you get to trust your intuition?
Through training. Or how does one, or how do I?
How does one? Let's see. I'll speak for myself.
Yeah.
And then you tell me how other people. So I was at like the bottom of like, I just wanted a change. Like I was kind of stuck in my own muck. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a shift. I wanted something. I wanted to actually, that I was asked to have an intention when I went into this. It was like a plant ceremony. I wasn't sure exactly mm-hmm. what it was. Someone just said, I know exactly what you need. And I'm like, I'll do it, whatever it is. And then, so I went in with the intention of trusting myself. That's what I was wanting to find. Mm-hmm. And I'd never felt or seen energy, but I know some of my really good friends had proved it to me that they felt my energy. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked, and I'm like, what I just did was trying to trick you, and you read it all. Mm-hmm. Like they read the staccato energy that I was giving, that I was just
Imagining.
Uh-huh. And then I remember when as my eyes were shut and I was imagining of pulling the energy. And then once it became clear, mm-hmm. that visualization became clear, that's when they read it.
Yep.
And every time they proved it, and I was like, just because I can't see it doesn't mean they can't see it. Like, this is real. This is pretty cool. So anyway, so basically I was ready to just leave everything behind. Mm-hmm. And I wanted something new to believe in and maybe kind of lead that back to me. And the next thing I knew, I felt and saw energy. And the first places were right here.
Mm-hmm. On your shoulders.
Not on my shoulders, but on this person's shoulders. And it was like a Russian woman who had this real thick accent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, how did you turn those on? What are you doing? And then I just kept following that, like, for the evening. And in the end, I was like, wow, what a cool, like, this is something I didn't believe in before. Mm-hmm. And I must have believed in it enough to move forward, mm-hmm. but I just kind of left those reservations behind. Mm-hmm. Like any of those negative or something that would get in my way, I just left it all behind. And once I was able to do that, used the word suspend earlier, mm-hmm. I just kind of, those thoughts of disbelief, mm-hmm. there was a little bit there, but I was just like, you know, I'm just going to kind of move through it. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to change the way I think. I'm just going to keep on moving because I know that exists. And so I just kind of let go, I guess, in the end, and see. I just kind of let go of everything and was open to something new.
Mm-hmm. And that's the keywords that are coming out are intention. Mm-hmm. So intention, the power of our mind is very strong. So if we intend to feel or sense energy, that opens the door for the opportunities to come. But we're all made out of energy. Everything's made out of energy. And the fun thing right now is the bridge with science and spirituality is getting stronger and stronger. And I'm more of the experiential kid. Like I'm experiential learner. We don't less come to science. Me for the science. Yeah, yeah. I usually have counterparts that will back what I'm doing up with science because it's there. It's like right there. And so if it's a bit like applied quantum physics, like where if, gosh, it's, this is a wide, broad topic, but say if we just want to be able to, I'm thinking of something that might work for listeners, of sensing energy, feeling energy. Well, it's just as simple as if you walk into the room and you feel a vibe is bad or good. It's as simple as that.
Oh, I love talking to people who don't believe in like energetics. And I say, you ever walk down a street and felt someone staring at you?
Yeah.
And like you might be in danger. Mm-hmm. And do you trust that? And they're like, yeah. Are like, well, then you feel it. Energy.
So that's just, that's the basic. And then if people are interested in, it's, some folks aren't interested in the subtleties of energy, and that's totally fine. Some of my work, it doesn't, it's like people will, some of my clients will call. I usually work with people over time. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's been a whole bunch of shifts in my career, which is a different topic, but that I'm here and offering more one-offs for like sessions for people in town, mm-hmm. at a lower rate, just so it can be more accessible. Cause my work shifted to just working with leaders, mm-hmm. executives, but some folks will come in. Usually people will come in that have big life, like a transition in their life in one shape or another, or want to find their life purpose, or want to start to clear anxiety, or want to, want to really understand themselves more and how they work.
Right.
Cause I also then layer it with astrology. I mean, I love astrology. I became really geeky with it in the last 8 years, but then I'll have clients that are like, hey, I have a headache, and we can work their headache from a distance, mm-hmm. not touching them. I can clear, anybody can, if with training we can help, it's, intention, sitting in the space and feeling into the space, and then over time you can start to really shift energy. As simple as if we sit here and we decide to shimmy our shoulders and smile,
right?
Versus like if we were to sit here and like shrug our shoulders and frown and kind of glare at each other, that'd change the energy, not just for us, but you all listening. It's contagious. It's one of the routes it moves is through emotion, mm-hmm. you know, and then emotions work with thoughts and create reality.
I love the show takeaways. And one of the takeaways I want to have listeners take away from this is, one, you have an event coming up, and then two, maybe something, a tool that they could use, mm-hmm. for example, like, Is there something that you could teach us, mm-hmm. to tap into a headache and, I don't know, for whatever reason, I'm thinking unwind that energy?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I like see these little stones I have here. So I uh-huh. work, I carry little rocks that I found with me. This one, because my system's quite, I get anxious or easily, I get nervous. I'm just very sensitive. And so a simple technique is to hold a little stone. I mean, it sounds...
Any stone?
Any stone. The darker, the better. It's like not a crystal. Crystals do something different. Crystals bring light. Mm-hmm. Stones, it's like if you imagine what feels gross in your body, that feeds the stone. It's made out of a different substance. This is from the Caro tradition in the Andes. Mm-hmm. And so I'll hold a stone and put it in front of my mouth and just breathe in. And I imagine, sense, feel either my headache or my anxiety or whatever the problem is, because everything is made out of energy. Mm-hmm. So it could be, I could do this at a global level. I could move the energy of war that I'm worried about into a stone through my breath, because energy follows intention. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it follows intention like where you're like, I just intend this once and then it's gone. It takes time to incubate that intention and empower it, strengthen it. And so I'll carry a rock and I'll blow into it. I use Ujjayi breath, which is a yogic form of breath that builds heat. Mm-hmm. And I can either just use the yogic breath, that actually works too on its own, but I want to use a stone as the energy, it can move from one form into another. So moving what is dark and heavy for me feeds the stone. And so I can either blow into it, or say I have a little ache in my head, I can put the stone on my head, pretend like I'm 5 years old. That's the thing. Oh, energy work. When you're playing with it, play with it, play. It's suspend belief. Like this system where we think,
play, like, as in don't, play, like, doesn't have to be logical.
No, yeah, suspend logic, and play as in, like, we're 5 years old and we're imagining that we have the power to move this headache into the stone. And all we have to do is we have to breathe 20 times and we have to pull our hand slowly away with this stone and pull it out. It's almost like I can feel the listeners doing it. Mm-hmm. You imagine it, feel it, sense it, leaving your body. And you keep pulling it out. You keep pulling and you keep exhaling it out. Exhaling either the physical, emotional, whatever problem it is. You're identifying. You can always thank it on its way out. Gratitude helps things change.
Hmm.
And thank you for visiting me, headache. Thank you for visiting me, sadness. I release you. And then you imagine it, sense it, feel it. If you can't feel it, that's okay. Like, let yourself be a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
That's another piece, is to really let yourself be a beginner when trying anything new out, especially in, like, the Uvi Groovi world, because the subtleties take a while to sense. But you do that. That simple tool I use every day, and I teach everyone I know.
So these stones that you energize with stuff you don't want,
gunk. Mm-hmm.
Those are reusable.
Happy. The more I use them, the stronger they become as tools, because it feeds them. We have to think how we exhale. What we exhale, the trees inhale.
Mm-hmm.
Earth works in reciprocity, and so my exhale of gunk from my life can feed this little stone, like dinner. I'm feeding the stone dinner, so to say. And then you can place it outside, or you can place it in a special spot in your house. I have little altars where I have energy moving all the time. And so that's a simple tool that you can use right away. Another one, I love, I'm like here to make tools. Go ahead.
We have to take a quick break.
Oh, sorry, quick break.
And then you can tell us about the second tool.
Okay, bye,
everyone. Because I'm excited about that.
Howdy, folks. DJ Spokane Guy here. I host a music show called The Astral Range every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. on this here community radio station, KYRS. For each week's show, I'll take listeners on a curated journey from the homespun folk selections,
building up to a skyline plateau of psychedelic terrain,
and down the mountainside to base camp. Talking frontal lobe levitation, cerebellum sizzle,
medulla modulation,
and other forms of brain bubbling. Tune into The Astral Range, Fridays 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
Join me, Robert Sevilla, for Creative Mindset, Thursdays at 4. In that hour, I'll be talking to locals that have the creative mindset. Tune in to find out more about creative minds around you. And we're back. That was simple, right? Okay, so before the break, we were talking about our
second tool.
But just to, in case you just tuned in, this is Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In-house guest is Coco Swanson.
Hello.
And she is what do you call?
I'm an energy healer. I'm a mentor. I'm a business consultant. I bring the Uvi Groovi down to earth.
Uvi Groovi. I like that.
Help people create really big life changes.
I want to talk about that. Those kind of executive like things that you were doing, mm-hmm. kind of you were doing more business oriented energy movement. Okay. Yeah, and you're still doing it.
My main class.
You're doing creativity classes or some sort of curriculum. You were.
I started a nonprofit for kids. That one, are you?
Yeah, is that the one?
Yeah, but it's all shifted. So, yeah, okay. There's so many things we could talk about, though.
Yeah. Okay, so okay, we'll finish the tool. We'll finish the tools that we were talking about of different ways of. We were talking about energy. Then I was asking about a takeaway. What could the listeners take away from this besides the possibility of coming to your class? And so I asked, is there a way, you brought up a headache, working with someone remotely to take away a headache. And then I asked about how to tune into that. So then you taught us how to tune into that, tuning into yourself, visualizing, picturing, and then directing that that you identify as a headache, and then pulling that out with intention and projecting it into through your breath mm-hmm. into a receptacle, which was a stone.
Mm-hmm. And any problem, it can be a headache because it's all just energy. And so a headache's energy probably trapped somewhere. It's also nice to get some hands on and some mm-hmm. body work if you can, but you can move it out. You can move, pull energy out. You can have, also you can move stress and anxiety out with your intention using a stone. I mean, you could also just use your hands and breath, but intention, energy follows intention. So that's one, just knowing, but then you want to give it at least, I mean, really at least 10 breaths. The longer you spend in a time that's saturated with intention, it's what I call ritual, is a moment saturated with intention. The longer you spend in that and the more powerful your intention is, the more outcomes you'll experience. But that, yeah, the basic of exhaling and pulling out energy into a stone to clear your space, to clear your vessel, your body. That's cool. An easy route.
Great. And then you're going to give us another tool.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just, there's the clearing in general right now is important. I clear. And just that, I clear. And I like snapping because it's kind of a bossy way of, it's a command. Uh-huh. Our energy systems work really well with the command. I have a dog. Her name's Elsa Maria, and she's very cute. It's my first time training a dog, and she really, I can see how she needs that command. Like it's, and so do I, as an energy body, I clear uh-huh. all emotions and energies that are not mine now. That's another one. And then you take a deep breath. I clear all energies and emotions that are not mine now. So it's energetic hygiene. Because you think of how...
I like that word, energetic hygiene.
Hygiene, yeah. And the clearer our energy system, the clearer our bodies and our minds and our emotions are.
Wait, did I miss the tool? What is the tool?
The tool is I clear.
And a snap.
And a little bossy snap. Like you're like, come to the dog. Come. Mm. You're like, I clear.
Snap. I definitely can identify with the snap because if I learned that with meditation mm-hmm. and borrowed it from someone and they basically simulated it to like a rocket 4-3-2-1, mm-hmm. like a 1-2-3 drop and I drop in and mm-hmm. I just picture just like everything just changes. Mm-hmm. I don't have to snap my fingers, but I just go 1-2-3.
I clear.
Go. Yep. And then I just, I could feel it even when right I just now. Say that right now. It fully drops me in and I can feel the change within my own mm-hmm. body.
I clear.
Let's sum up in case those listeners are gathering tools. Mm-hmm. We got three tools for you. Three tools. 1-2-3 drop. Mm-hmm. We got the now and a snap.
I clear all energies and emotions that are not mine now. And then the third one, taking a stone that you find from the ground mm-hmm. and sitting with it and scanning your system, like what's up right now with me? What would I do? If I waved a magic wand, what would I shift from my body, my mind, and my life? And then you take time breathing and pulling it out of your body. You pretend, make believe like you're 5 years old and that you can move things out of your body into a stone. Mm. And that's an ancient modality that I learned from pre-Incan, like a long time ago, up in the Andes.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a workshop, you're part of a big kind of event coming up.
Okay, so several things. So,
tell us about that.
I've started a project called Cross Pollinate, and it's a series of pop-up workshops, and it's taking place starting June 21st and going through August. Their classes, the concept is I reached out in the community to see if there was a desire to have classes co-taught by me and other 10,000 hour plus experts in healing and esoteric arts. And so everybody said yes. So right now we have six others and myself co-creating classes that are sharing modalities. So I bring my modalities and my expertise in creating curriculum and projects, because I'm a business person too. And then we have six different people I'd love to talk about. They're amazing. But we're creating classes to help. They're drop-in, in-person classes to help, one, just build community, like in-person community outside having fun, but also to bring the Uvi Groovy down to earth and to help create relevancy within it, to decrease stress and anxiety, to alleviate pain.
Are these for beginners or people? Yeah.
Anybody can drop in, beginning through advanced. So you could be curious about energy healing or curious about breath work, curious about chakras, curious about mysticism or writing, or what one we're doing is on fashion and spirituality. Because we have...
Are you teaching that one? Who's teaching that?
That is me. I've always been into fashion, and that's with Sarah Joy Van, and she's the personal stylist at Anthropology, and she's a longtime intuitive and tarot reader, and she's amazing. So these ladies, they're all ladies so far. We've got Christina Terrell, I think she was on here before. She's incredible.
Yeah, she's been here a few times.
All these are long time. So it's 10,000 hours was the minimum. So that is essentially at least 10 years of doing something pretty full time with a lot of training. And so she brings expertise on chakra alignment, energy healing, clairvoyance, body work, and nutrition. So we're going to be doing like our main 10 tools that are indispensable to us as like a 101 and then a deep dive into energy healing and nutrition. Then we have Elaine Bell, who's amazing, one of my dear, dear friends. And she brings 45 years of experience in Alexander Technique, which explores subtleties of posture and how posture and breath build body-mind connection that has helped me with chronic acute pain more than I think anybody I've met.
Alexander Technique is about the intention of posture, right?
It's a subtlety. It's landing in your bones. So it's all these feel subtle at first, but the results are not subtle. So Elaine and I will be doing, we'll be forest bathing, which is a really common, it's becoming more common how important being in nature and being with trees is. We'll be doing alignment of posture, Alexander Technique, meditation. We've got Elizabeth Lancaster, who's one of my favorite fine artists in town, painter. She did a bunch of work at my old studio. I think you might have seen her work. And we're doing intuitive painting and healing together.
Oh, cool.
We've got Erin Murrow. How do we say her last name? The Lotus owner, the studio owner at Lotus. Mm-hmm. She's amazing. We learned that we study the same form of energy healing, the Caro tradition of mysticism and shamanism down in the Andes. We've been doing trades. I've been getting to know all these people. They're amazing. And their work is phenomenal. And they're all in Spokane. We've got Sarah Joy that I mentioned. And then Tara Lynn Carlson, whose trauma work, MNRI, that's more nervous system regulation. And everything, we're creating these classes right now. It's been like quite a bit of work in the background to curate new classes for anybody to come and try out new things, or that are longtime practitioners that want to come and meet new people and do it together.
Is this something that's coming up, not that something that's ongoing right now?
It will be ongoing from June 21st mm-hmm. through August 6th. That's the starting. We'll see how it takes off. Anyone's welcome. The first class is free. My work is usually...
And how do we get a hold of you?
That's it. We get a hold of me on, you want to sign up. It's like a scavenger hunt.
Uh-huh.
So you have to go to my site, which is cocoswanson.com. C-O-C-O, Swanson, SWANSON.com. And then it's under the summer offerings, and sign up for the email, because that's how you'll get the location. It's pop-up.
Right.
So we're like, we'll drop you a pin and we'll say who's teaching and the vibe and what age groups can come, because some of them will be for kids too.
Oh, nice.
The first one, the first one's silent disco at the river with a river plunge and breath work on the full moon on the 21st of June.
In the evening?
5:30 to 7 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah, and then we have Sundays and Tuesdays, mostly Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings.
Okay, so we'll listeners will include the links in our show notes on both Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find it at the Creative Mindset, Robert Sevilla, KYRS. If you do searches on any of that, these posts will come up, these links.
And the intention is to really support people in a comprehensive way, with working through deep stuff that we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a easy place to be, planet Earth, right now. And so these are ways of making modalities accessible to help really decrease stress, anxiety, help with PTSD, alleviate pain. That's a big one. Help posture, see how breath and posture, why they're so important, and also just to play and have fun and to learn. And I've been having a blast. I was going in a different direction with what we were referring to earlier. I built a nonprofit and mm-hmm. was not really heading towards Spokane, but everything shifted and brought me back here. And I'm really excited. It's the community right now feels like it's really thriving and ready to like be together more and have fun.
There is a lot more synergy than there used to be just 5 years ago, mm-hmm. for sure, in all of this type of movement. I try to help. I definitely try to help that same community, the kind of energetic community, because in the end, you know, from my science side, I do all the feeler kind of type things, and also it's very masculine, feminine type thing. And from the science guy side, or like the logical, there's no downside. It's mm-hmm. like, why not have a happy person?
It.
Yeah, it's like...
Well, it's like, why not try new
why
things?
Why not be temporarily happy for 2 hours down by the river?
Like, what's there to lose?
Yeah.
Except if we need to take ourselves super seriously. But it's more... It's like, if I find the less I care, like it's... the more I receive from these practices, like the less F's I give, essentially, the more I receive from my ecstatic dance, or the more I receive from my breath work, might as well.
So I always thought you were kind of specializing in like movement, mm-hmm. like people, getting people move. I guess that's because of your dance background.
Dance, yoga.
So people have never heard of ecstatic dance. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah.
And what it does for a person?
Ecstatic dance. Well, the class that Tara and I are creating is a mixture of, well, just setting the pace at first. So telling people why we're doing it is to drop out of our brain into our body, where our subconscious and all of our history is. And all of the history meaning, for some reason, the history that stays is oftentimes a sticky history. The little jab that somebody did to you, like back in grade school, and then let alone like the big kiddie things like divorce or loss of career or family loved members, etc. And we carry that history in our body. And so we can move it out through our body. And dance does that fantastically. The fun part about moving together is that if there's a whole bunch of us, we're less likely to have inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
And so we guide it. It's a guided, and it's first, you know, setting the pace. You don't have to move. If we're all moving together, you can just sit and watch. You don't have to move with somebody. If you want to move alone, just keep your eyes down.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'll guide people through some MNRI techniques that help the nervous system regulate.
Yeah.
And this will be more of a flow class. Some of the classes will be more workshop based where we stop, you ask questions, you take notes. This is like experience the flow. It's like a flow yoga class, so to say, but it's a flow movement class. So we'll be regulating the nervous system through movement, connecting in with nature through movement, through Qigong. That's an ancient Taoist form of moving meditation. And in the meantime, we'll get the tunes going. And the tunes, as they start to pick up, will guide you into moving in ways that you might not even be into dancing. And all of a sudden, you'll catch yourself like grooving with everyone. If not, you just check out for a minute and sit down. But essentially, through it, you can move a bunch of the gunk that you're carrying around from your past.
Yeah, movement is really good at that.
And increase the joy factor. So it's like we clear out a layer of gunk, stress, anxiety, either just from the week or from your whole life. And then in its place, we like have ecstatic joy.
What is ecstatic?
Ecstatic is like this bliss.
A blissful
it's like if we
dance.
If we take the dial on joy and we just crank it up.
To ecstatic.
That's where it goes. And that's, might as well just come and play. The first class is free. And then also with the classes, part of the inclusivity is based on, if you can't pay the price of like $30 a class after that, then let us know. Cause it's how can we feed community in ways that we can meet you where you're at?
Nice. That's nice. Okay. We got to take one more break. And I'm also going to give out the phone number. If anybody wants to call in and has questions for Coco, the phone number here is 509-747-3807. Again, that's 509-747-3807. We'll be right back.
Support for Bioneers on KYRS comes from Kazuri, offering handmade gifts and clothing from around the world that are fair trade and earth-friendly. Jewelry, home decor, housewares, and more. Kazuri, 35 West Main in downtown Spokane in the community building and online at kazurispokane.com. KYRS listeners pay attention to quality. They look for quality in their work and in their daily lives. If your business cares about quality customers, look to KYRS. Call 509-624-7573 for more information.
And we're back. Okay, so this is KYRS, Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM, and you're listening to the program Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In studio, we have Coco Swanson, the Spokane healer, and she's telling us about some classes, workshops, kind of a free-form curriculum that she's developed with some other people here in town with high numbers of, or we'll say high experience levels. Mm-hmm. And she's talking about the different entry points that you can get in. And I also opened up the phone line. If anyone wants to call in, has questions about it, 509-747-3807. Again, 509-747-3807. And if you're thinking, if you're attracted, if you're you found yourself listening to this show for 5 minutes or so, chances are you're interested. You're interested enough. So there's nothing to lose because the first class is free, right?
On purpose
to just get you in there because it does take. And you know what? Just like a general contractor, when you hire a general contractor, you can hire anybody. You can hire the cheapest. You can hire the most expensive that looks has the fanciest picture. But when it comes down to it, you want to choose your general contractor that is compatible with you. Mm-hmm. Do you like their attitude? Do you think that you can get through some muck with them? Because it always kind of shows up. But I think it's the same way with some sort of with a spiritual guide, mm-hmm. an energetic guide is, you can't feel closed off to them. And I think if you can't get it by listening to her, mm-hmm. she's super gentle, easy to get along with, like a little fun fairy. Just jumping around. And I've actually, normally she's giggling and jumping around, can't stop moving. I always see you kind of just moving about, but we have her in a seat with some headphones on and a speaker in front of her. So I've definitely clipped her wings a little bit for this show.
So welcome if you're new. The series that we're talking about is called Cross Pollinate. And it's me. I'm a long-term seasoned healer, energy healer, yogi, contemporary shaman, and dancer and artist. And I've recruited a beautiful handful of other 10,000 hour plus experts in the field, and we're curating classes for everybody. And just to create a really nice solid container for people to come and stretch into. And some of the classes will be really low key, like we'll have slow nervous system resets. That will be more Tuesday evenings, like come in and bring your stress and let it melt. We're meeting at parks. And so it's
So is it on the regular, like every...
On the regular.
Every
Tuesday evening through from June 21st through August 6th at least. Every Tuesday evening and every Sunday morning from 9 to 10:30. Those will be more upbeat probably. Mm-hmm. It depends on who's teaching. Like, because I'm a bit of a chameleon. I can shift from being super upbeat, which is my norm as the little lady dancing around on the bluff where you see me, where we live near each other. But also I am a deep, slow meditator and really help people drop in. Mm-hmm. And so that's an area in which you can really let go, learn tools. A lot of my passion is in translating the tools that might be more lofty and esoteric down to really usable rituals you can do in your own life and track change in your life. I'm impact driven. I love creating and helping people create substantial change in the ways they want. And we can do that in these classes, in bringing, so it's, I'm curious also about what everybody, like, bring me your problems, bring us your problems. You can reach out in email and say, hey, I have this shoulder issue. Which classes would be good for me? Or, hey, I have this anxiety. What classes would mix with that? Because these are made for community.
You're talking about people who actually have physical pain, like stress that is manifested into physical pain.
Yeah. To bring any issues to these classes, because at the core, all of them are working with energy and everything's made out of energy. And so you were asking earlier, like the work I do normally is with executives, is with leaders, looking at the subconscious programming that can be deducted through their, what's working and what's not in their business, but then correlates to their astrology chart. 100% of the time, which is just bizarre to me in astrology, that it's been absolutely 100% of the time that it's consistent. Your themes are, the themes that you experience in your relationships are also made out of energy. Like we can create change in who we attract, in what kind of business opportunities we attract.
And you're talking astrologically?
Well, astrologically, okay, so that's one tool I use. So yes, we can. And that'd be a class I'd love to offer. That's that would be more of a longer term.
That would be a show I'd like to talk about, because I haven't had anybody on here like talking about astrology, like in the asking just questions.
I geek out on it. Yeah. So the basic piece I look at with astrology, and this is take note for a later show, is the north node and the south node. And that's the direction in which our soul's coming from. And it carries our karmic wounds. Mm-hmm. And so it carries, it's who we are just naturally, but it also carries our wounds with it, because where we've been carries our wounds. And where we're going is our north node. So from that alone, just looking at somebody's birth date, I have no clue, by the way, why this works. It's just, that's a mystery. I just know that it does. And the more I study it, it's like super consistent with everyone I've ever done it with. And so we do shadow work. Part of my expertise is in shadow, which is a Carl Jung term. It's transpersonal psychology, and it just means my wounds that are unsolved, I project over there to that person that I'm either jealous of or I don't like.
That's shadow work?
Shadow work is when I claim it just through recognizing that I don't like that about Robert, but that's not happening right now, just so you know. But pretend like I'm like, oh, gross, I don't like Robert, blah, blah, blah. Well, then that points to an area of me. If I have a strong response to anything, a strong emotional response, either like envy or like disgust, it points to something within me that's ready and ripe for healing. Mm. Well, the healing work we do through breath, through movement, through chakra clearing, all can work in the realm of the shadow. It's kind of complex to talk about in this little minute, but it's my job's to simplify it. So essentially, when I work one-on-one with people, mm-hmm. which I'm here doing, since my other projects stopped, I'm here.
It's your specialty,
I'm here right now. Yeah, exactly. So people come to me for energy healing. People come to me to be their coach. People come to me to bring the Uvi Groovy down into practical ways and systemize it. Mm-hmm. So we systemize their themes and create meditations and journal exercises and awareness exercises for them to integrate into their lives to create change on a personal and professional level. And so I help people. I'm their guide. And right now I'm offering a Spokane. For the summer, my rates are in half because they're at a global, my rates are usually at a global level of executive level. Mm-hmm. And so that's like the deep.
And for that
dive.
Market, it's competitive and you've got a lot of experience in that. So yes, a bargain.
Yeah. It's
get her while she's at a bargain.
But essentially, just to simplify what we're talking about, it's, these classes, we might touch in on what's going on astrologically, mm-hmm. but in an hour and a half time, we can't dive into what your south node and all the stuff. That'd be more like if I taught a long, like a 4-week workshop or a one-on-one. Yeah. One-on-one's a great place to do that. This is more, we're decreasing stress. We're alleviating pain. We're really looking at the effects of PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome, which we all have just living through the last 5 years on planet Earth. And how can we start to shift out of that into a place of joy and into gratitude? And so each class we have will dive into a different conglomeration of breath work or mysticism or energy healing or spirituality and fashion, how beauty plays a part in that. They're pop-up workshops. And so you sign up and then we send you a little email and we're like, okay, this week, here's the drop pin. Here are the teachers. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're offering. Here's the vibe. It's high vibe. It's low vibe. Kids are welcome. Kids can't come, etc. And then you just drop in and experience and see for yourself.
Nice. And this is every Tuesday starting the 21st.
Yeah, but that's a Friday kickoff at the River Dance Party Plunge. Okay. Then it shifts to Sunday mornings and Tuesday evenings until August.
All right. And they can get a hold of you at
CocoSwanson.com.
CocoSwanson.com. You can also, if anyone is driving, you can check our Facebook or Instagram and I'll put some links in the show notes. You can send them to
me,
right?
And I'm just at Coco Swanson on Instagram. Coco.
Cool. Yeah. And I have actually a link on you currently. Oh, on perfect. Both of those. But we'll put down information about those classes, the same kind of stuff. We'll just make it easy for people that are listening and people that just kind of come across it. All right, so we have a final minute. What do you want to talk about? How do you want to close this one out? You thought you were going to be a little nervous, but you sound...
I'm not nervous.
No, you're not nervous at all. You're kind of taking over my show. So
maybe you... How would you like to end it?
Well, I don't mind. I mean, this is about you. So, I like that tool that you gave us about just kind of getting in touch with the, for me, it was the same practice of locating your headache is the same practice that you would locate your stress.
Mm-hmm. And locate
whatever problem you can. And then you just gather it up like a butterfly net and pulling it together, visualizing
and just blowing it out. This problem in my body. So where, if I think of the problem in the bank account or in
stressing
the relationship
or
in the job, where is that in my body? And then from there, you can breathe, use your breath, and you can actually, with your intention, pull it out into a stone.
Hmm.
And then that aspect of your life will start to change.
And if you missed the early part about the stone, she talked about holding a stone in her hand and then holding it right in front and with an
Ujjayi breath. Moving it out.
With your breath, with your imagination, you're projecting that stress, that what you don't want out, and consciously putting it into that stone. Mm-hmm. That is a happy stone that's happy to eat your bad stuff.
Yeah, is fed just like trees are by their exhalation. And then I always end with gratitude, because gratitude is what makes love, and gratitude is like what makes it all go around. And so on that note, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'll end on
thank
love.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much. That's it.
Hostage deal in Gaza. The World Health Organization's warning over 8,000 Palestinian children have been diagnosed with acute malnutrition. We'll speak to a top Palestinian diplomat at the United Nations and look at how there were more armed conflicts last year than in any other year since the end of World War II. But first, we look at the ethics crisis at the Supreme Court. We'll speak to a filmmaker who made headlines this week after she secretly recorded Justice Samuel Alito agreeing that the country should return to, quote, godliness.
There are differences on fundamental things that really can't be compromised. They really can't be compromised. So it's not like we're going to split the difference.
We'll also speak to a reporter at ProPublica who won a Pulitzer Prize for reporting on Justice Clarence Thomas's long record of taking free trips from Harlan Crow and other Republican billionaire donors. Justice Alito also attacked ProPublica. We'll get Justin Elliott's response. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The official death toll in Gaza has topped 37,200 people, nearly 16,000 of them children, with more than 85,000 injured. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, head of the World Health Organization, warned famine spreading in Gaza.
A significant proportion of Gaza's population is now facing catastrophic hunger and famine-like conditions. Despite reports of increased delivery of food, there is currently no evidence that those who need it most are receiving sufficient quantity and quality of food.
This comes as deadly Israeli attacks continue across the Gaza Strip. Fresh attacks on the Nusairat refugee camp have killed at least 5 people, while Israeli soldiers are using explosives to level buildings in the center of Rafah. Meanwhile, Israel's far-right finance minister, Bezalel Smotrich, said this week he will confiscate some $35 million in Palestinian tax revenue and transfer the money to Israeli families who've lost relatives in Palestinian attacks. On the diplomatic front, world leaders from the G7 nations are meeting in Italy, where the U.S. says it'll push its allies to back its proposed Gaza ceasefire deal. Hamas has responded to the proposal, but on Wednesday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said some of the group's requested changes are not workable. Hamas responded in a statement, quote, "While Blinken continues to talk about Israel's approval of the proposal, we've not heard any Israeli official voicing approval," Hamas said. The Republican-controlled House of Representatives Wednesday voted to hold Attorney General Merrick Garland in contempt of Congress for refusing to turn over audio of President Biden's interview with special counsel Robert Hur. The Justice Department has already released the full transcript of the interview. Hur was tasked with investigating Biden's handling of classified material. He did not bring any charges against Biden, but Republicans claim they need the audio as part of their impeachment effort against the president. New York Democrat Jerry Nadler blasted his Republican colleagues as he spoke from the House floor.